Unbroken sunshine was forecast for Thursday, the 20th of April, 1939. Führerwetter, as it was known in Nazi Germany. Across the city, Berliners woke that morning in eager expectation of what promised to be one of the highlights of the year. It was the 50th birthday of the German Chancellor and Führer of the Greater German Reich, Adolf Hitler, and a series of events, parades, and receptions would mark the occasion. A public holiday had been decreed, a grand spectacle was in the offing, and the forecast of good weather would only have heightened the party mood. Across the capital, therefore, thousands of ordinary Germans prepared for a day out. Veterans of the First World War would polish their medals and pin them proudly on their chests. The women would take care to select stout shoes and carry coats and some refreshments, bread rolls, perhaps, and cold meats. The better prepared among them would take folding chairs or stools. Some even packed a mirror periscope to ensure a good view of proceedings. The younger generation, meanwhile, mostly members of the various Hitler youth organizations, would don their neatly pressed uniforms, shine their belt buckles, and check their complement of badges. Boys would comb their hair. Girls would wear plaits or neat German braids. For all of them, the excitement of that morning would have been palpable. Before setting off for the city centre, those attending the celebrations would have been wise to read the official directions that were published in every newspaper. They were advised not to stray too close to tracked vehicles during the parade, and warned to stay well clear of horses. The instructions of police and party officials, they were reminded, were to be heeded without delay and without contradiction. During the parade itself, photography was strictly forbidden. The official preparations for the day were no less thorough. The administrative centre of the city was closed to traffic from 7 in the morning. The Tiergarten railway station, close to the site of the parade, was also shut. Those travelling into the centre of Berlin to enjoy the festivities were advised to alight as close as possible to the restricted area and continue their journey on foot. Finally, due to a planned flypast that afternoon, the airspace over central Berlin was to be closed to air traffic for the entire day. Large numbers of participants and visitors would require overnight accommodation in the capital. The majority of the 50,000 or so military personnel who were directly involved in the parade could be housed in the barracks at Lichterfelde and Potsdam, or at the various other military installations that surrounded the capital. VIPs and special guests, meanwhile, were given rooms in two of Berlin's best hotels, the Adlon and the Kaiserhof, where they were even afforded an SS guard. The many thousands of ordinary visitors, who had come from all over the Reich and abroad, found accommodation, if they were lucky, in Berlin's many less renowned hotels and guesthouses. For the lowliest among them, the city's numerous parks offered ample opportunities for pitching a tent. Hitler, meanwhile, had wanted for nothing that morning. He had risen unusually early. As his valet, Heinz Linger, later recalled, "The Führer donned his brown party uniform and put on the golden dress belt of a German general as supreme commander of the Wehrmacht. He stood before the mirror in his bedroom for ages, feasting his eyes on his own image like a peacock and repeatedly adjusting his jacket. His staff, standing to attention in the marbled halls of the Reich Chancellery, had been similarly preened. Servants stood at the doors," Linger went on, "wearing magnificent uniforms with silver lanyards and medals on their chests. The adjutants and liaison officers were lined up, together with Hitler's bodyguard and the pilots from his own flight. Then there were the soldiers from the Leibstandarte in their black SS uniforms, their new belts made in imitation of Kaiser Wilhelm's guards. Officers from the Leibstandarte, like those from the Wehrmacht, wore silver lanyards and dress uniform belts. At 8 that morning, the band of the SS Leibstandarte performed a short recital in the garden of the Reich Chancellery, playing Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, and the Horst Wessel song. Hitler, standing beneath the elegant classical portico, listened intently before thanking the performers and returning inside. There,